Hi everybody, welcome to my Never Too Much True Crime channel. My name is Amaya. Hi everybody. This is a new series on my channel where I talk about true crime. So if you love true crime as much as I do, let's get started. For this week's case, we're going to be talking about a woman, Hella Crafts. Hella Crafts was born on July 7th, 1947 in Denmark. Mrs. Crafts was a flight attendant who would marry a man, Richard Crafts, who was a pilot and also a part-time police officer. They met in 1969 at an airline convention in Miami. 6 years later, they settled down in Newtown, Connecticut, and had three children. From the outside looking in, they seemed like the perfect family, you know, the house, the kids, and everything. But not everything was sunshine and rainbows. Hella was described as a warm, loving person, very caring, and she loved her children very much. She was well-liked in the town. Mr. and Mrs. Crafts would go to the Newtown School for career day and talk about their career. They would end up hiring a nanny, Don Marie, because they were both busy. They always traveled all over the place, so they didn't have time to watch their kids. On November 18th, 1986, Hella arrived at the JFK airport after she had worked a long flight from Frankfurt, Germany. Her and another flight attendant drove back to her house. The flight attendant said that she was very excited to spend time with her kids. Everyone was home at the time, the kids, Richard. They were having dinner, and then a snowstorm hits, and the whole town has a power outage. Richard wakes up the next day and notices that his wife is not in bed. He thought that she went to work, but how would she go to work if there was a snowstorm? Realistically, if there's a snowstorm, why would she go to work? He wakes the children up and he wakes up the nanny. He tells the nanny to take the kids to his sister's house. The nanny starts asking about his wife. Richard said that she got up for work, she got dressed, she packed her bags, and she left. He drops the kids off at his sister's house. He returns home. He picks up the children from his sister's house. Hella didn't return at all. 2 days go by, Hella is still missing. Flight attendant Trudy Harvath, I hope I'm pronouncing that right, contacted Richard about Hella. Richard tells her that his wife called from Europe. She went to Denmark with her mom. Her mother's sick. She was going to see her for a few days. He also told the nanny and his kids the same story. He sticks with his story. Hella took her flight luggage with her. Her car was parked in the Pan Am parking lot. Some of her belongings were in the car. After 3 days, her car was still in the parking lot. Hella's friends, they start getting worried. She never came back, and they thought that it was very strange for her to disappear like that without telling her friends what was going on. Hella's friends file a missing persons report. The media gets a hold of her disappearance. Crime reporter at the time was saying how quiet the town was. So it was odd for Hella to disappear out of the blue. Once you learn that their marriage was not as perfect as what it seemed on the outside, the more that this case starts to make sense. Richard was having affairs. The affair he was having lasted for over 20 years with another flight attendant. He was known as a serial cheater, okay? He was cheating. He was cheating. So this was not new. He was known as a serial cheater. He always had affairs and other relationships with other women. Months before this, Hella hired a divorce attorney, Diane Anderson. Diane Anderson tells Hella to hire a private investigator to have proof of Richard cheating on her. Keith Mayo follows Richard, takes photographs of Richard with another woman, and he sends the photos to Hella. Hella was like, okay, you're cheating on me, I've had enough, and here are these divorce papers. Richard didn't want to get a divorce. He didn't want to accept it. He had a hard time about that. He was worried about the kids. In my opinion, if you're worried about your kids, you wouldn't do things to jeopardize your marriage. How are you gonna cheat and disrespect your wife, but then when she wants a divorce, you're like, oh, well, what about the kids? I feel like that's such a low blow. And it's just an excuse. She agrees to talk more about the divorce when she gets back home from Germany. A week has passed. There's still no signs of Hella anywhere. One of her friends, Lena Johansson, ends up calling to get information about Hella's mom. Remember? Because Richard said that Hella's mother was sick. She finds out that Hella's mother was not sick at all. She was fine. And that her mom hasn't spoken to Hella in several weeks. So Richard is lying. Hella's friends are very suspicious of Richard. They think that he did something to her. During the Thanksgiving weekend, Richard and his kids were at his sister's house. Hella's friends are even more suspicious of Richard because Hella, she loved hanging out with her kids during the holidays. But before she disappeared, she had a conversation with her friends. They all sat down and she was telling them about how Richard is angry at her. And if something bad happens to her, just know that it wasn't an accident. Hella's friends remembered her saying this to them. They go to the police and tell them what Hella said about Richard. Investigators took Richard in for questioning. They asked him about his wife's whereabouts, like, where's your wife? Where did she go? He told police the same story that he told the nanny and his kids and everybody else. You know, Hella just left on November 19th. Police weren't buying his story. They suggested that he takes a lie detector test. He agrees to it. He passes the test with flying colors. Wow. The examiners told police that he is innocent and that they should look elsewhere. Richard admits to lying about Hella visiting her sick mom. He told police that he didn't want anybody in town to know that she left him and the kids. Richard was cleared. Investigators started to look at different possibilities of why Hella would disappear. State police gets involved. The chief of forensic laboratories, Dr. Henry Lee, is also involved, assisting the investigation. They start putting the case together, getting as much information as they could. 2 weeks passes by. Police are still working to solve this case, working extremely hard, interviewing everybody in town. There are no leads and there's a lot of dead ends. Keith Mayo and the nanny, they go to the police. The nanny saw stains on the carpet. Bingo. Richard removed the carpet from the bedroom. Richard becomes the prime suspect of this case. Richard lies to the nanny, explaining how the stain on the carpet was because of the heater. The heater broke during the storm. He took the carpet to a landfill. The police, they go to the dump and they find the carpet. They take it to the lab. Police started to look into Richard's financial records. He bought a new pillow, a comforter, the day after the storm. Richard also rented a wood chipper during the storm. From that moment, police knew that he did something horrible. They get a search warrant, and on December 25th, while Richard was away with his kids, the police ends up searching his home. Carpets were torn up, furniture was everywhere, everything was a mess in the house. There were things burned in the fireplace. They go inside of the bedroom and they look through everything and they find bloodstains on the mattress. Hear me out. This guy was buying a new comforter set, new pillows, new blankets, but he didn't think to buy a new mattress so that police wouldn't find the bloodstain there. It's so backwards to me. Like, dude, you buy all of these new things, but then you're still using an old mattress that has blood on it? Wow. Police, they take a sample of the bloodstain from the mattress. They realize that they didn't have much evidence against Richard. No murder weapon, no witnesses, nothing. They don't know where her body was either. On December 29th, Joseph Hine talks to police about seeing a man on a bridge on November 19th. Joseph said that it was strange for someone to be working during a snowstorm. He said that it was definitely Richard. He tells police that Richard pointed the wood chipper towards the lake. They started searching the lake for any of Hella's remains. They end up finding 56 bone chips. They found hair, they found teeth, they found toenails, and a finger. Once they found the remains, they started to do tests to see if that was Hella. It was, and they had enough evidence to charge Richard for murder. They end up going back to the lake again to find more clues. They found mail. They found fabric that matched what Hella was wearing on the night that she was murdered. Two toenails that were painted. They confirmed that this was her toenails because in her home, she had the nail polish, and they confirmed that the color that they found in her room matched her toenails. Police divers end up going inside of the lake and they find a chainsaw there. They examined the chainsaw and they found human teeth. They tracked the store where Richard bought the chainsaw. They talked to the owner and the owner kept all of his receipts. And on the receipt, it said that Richard bought this chainsaw. January 13th, 1987, Richard is arrested. When police arrives at his home, he didn't want to come out at all. But eventually he did and they arrested him. The first trial took 4.5 months. It was a lot of witnesses, a lot of evidence that they had to piece together. The judge was forced to declare a mistrial. A second trial was ordered in Norwalk, Connecticut. September 7th, 1989, the second trial begins. Prosecuting attorney Walter Flanagan recreates the crime scene. He thinks that Hella and Richard got into a heated argument about the divorce. Richard probably killed her in the house. Hella was hit in the head with an object. Her body was on the carpet where the bloodstain was found. He rolled her body inside of the carpet and carried it. He placed her body in the freezer for about a day because it's hard to cut a fresh body in a wood chipper like that. So when the body was frozen, you can cut it into sections easier, which that is the most disturbing thing I've ever heard in all my life. While the kids went to Richard's sister's house, this is when he disposed of her body completely. He was supposed to pick up the kids around 2 and he didn't. He came back for her body, took it out of the freezer, put it in the machine. During court, Richard didn't show any signs of emotions whatsoever. 3 days later, the jury has a verdict. November 20th, 1989, Richard was found guilty for first-degree murder of his wife, Hella Crafts. He was sentenced to 50 years in prison. During that time, there was no allowance for paroles. Richard was placed at the Summers Correctional Institute. I've read many articles about him being released from prison in 2020 and living in New Haven. I'll leave some articles down below and you guys can like read it yourself. And that is it for this week's Never Too Much True Crime. This case is, every case is insane, but this is absolutely insane. So he killed his wife because he didn't want no one to find out that he was getting a divorce. You know, he was trying to protect his image. This is what I was hearing when I was reading and watching documentaries about this case. Instead of just going through the divorce like a normal person, his thought process was like, okay, she wants to divorce me, but I don't want to get a divorce. So instead of fixing your marriage or trying to find ways to fix your marriage or, I don't know, stop cheating every 2 seconds, he's like, you know what? I can just kill my wife. I can just put her body in a wood chipper. That will solve all of my problems. Like, his thought process is very like, what? How did you go from A all the way to Z? You missed the whole alphabet. It makes no sense whatsoever. My mind couldn't process what was going on. My heart goes out to Hella's family, her friends, you know, everybody that loved her and cared about her, because this is sad. That's the only thing that I can really say, is that this is heartbreaking. It's just like, how, like, what? What were you thinking? As always, thank you guys for your support. Thank you guys for listening to me at all. And I'll see you guys next week with a brand new Never Too Much True Crime. Bye, everybody.